Thank you, dear devotees, for joining us today. We will start off with reading Srila Prabhupada's quote for the day, 16th May. When we are spiritually perfect, we develop the spiritual form to live eternally in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are exactly the same things as we see here, namely the land, water, trees, birds, beasts, human beings, etc. And all of them are as spiritual as the varieties here. But the varieties here are material. Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for joining us. Mute and wait for Prabhuji to join, and then we will start the class. Well, is there anyone else who would like to introduce themselves before we get started for Prabhu joins?
Hello, this is Sukhakar Krishnadas from Chennai. I'm very happy to join your Zoom meeting. Hare Krishna, all Vishnu Prabhupada, Dhanaj, and all the devotees in Bhakti Sangha. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Sukhakar Prabhu. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us your very valuable association today. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru and Guranga ki jai. This is Shivani from Ashford, Virginia. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shivani Mataji. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us your very valuable association. Welcome to the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisance. All praise to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Guru and Gauranga, and all assembled devotees. This is Shridhar joining from San Antonio, Texas.
Hare Krishna, Shashidhar Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Joshua Prabhupada, thank you so much
for joining us
and giving us your very valuable association today.
Hare Krishna, this is Vishwanath Das from Dayton, Ohio. Joining. Thank you for having me.
Hare Krishna. So nice to see you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us your most valuable association these days on the call. Hare Krishna. Wait for a couple of minutes to see Prabhu joining. Anyone else would like to introduce?
Just a heads up, I do have to draw halfway through the call if we the call runs that long. But,
Prabhuji joining.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you so much for joining us. We are very, very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu with us, and Prabhuji will be speaking on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Madhya Kanda, chapter 1, verses 189 to 191. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. He will also be speaking on the glories of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद. So the context that we are in is Mahaprabhu had just finished his discussion with the students. He finished teaching to the students in a very animated way. Finally, the students said that they didn't understand anything because Mahaprabhu, in the name of explaining different sutras, he landed up in glorifying Lord Krishna, and he was busy in establishing how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mahaprabhu came home, took bath. In Ganges, had a water sport with the boys. But when he came home, he changed his clothes, got ready, and that's where the context is that we are reading those three verses today and see what we have to learn. Tulasi Ramanjari Sahita Divya Anna Maye Ani Samukhe Karila Upasanna. Mother Sachi brought fine cooked rice with a tulasi flower on top and placed it before the Lord. Visvakshenere tabe kari nivedanam ananta brahmandanata karena bhojanam. After offering foodstuffs to Visvakshena, the Lord of innumerable universes began to eat. Samuke vasila sachi jagatera mata dharera baithare deke lakshmi pati vrata. Sachi, the mother of the universe, sat before the Lord, and the most chaste Vishnupriya watched from within the next room. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshurun Militam Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namaham Vishnu Padayam Krishna Preshtaya Bhutalem Srimate Bhakti Vedhantam Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Shnirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Prabhu Nityanandam Shri Advaita Gadadar Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. After Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, Mahaprabhu was very, very particular in one thing. Wherever he went, whichever opportunity he got, he was trying to encourage everyone to become servant of the Supreme Lord. He was very, very vocal, pushy, at the same time, completely
drowned in emotion. He constantly was chanting the holy name of the Lord, and also he was trying to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You will see this mood almost in every Vaishnava Acharya, where they have showed some sense of urgency in trying to establish Krishna as Supreme Personality. So even while speaking to the students, even while teaching about the sutras from the Vedas, the Lord somehow went into the pastimes of the Lord. Not just the pastimes, he went into the emotions attached to the pastimes. And then he kind of got into the mood and completely got involved, but he didn't hide his emotions. It is very important to note that our Vaishnava Acharyas, their purpose of giving all the commentaries, all the wonderful narrations, are actually meant for us to catch those emotions and mood. Their intent of giving all these purports is to develop this mood, not just make us intellectual. So as we study Vedic literature, we need to understand that the purpose of studying them is to develop loving attachment to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So this current context is a small, simple context, but still we will see if there is something that we can churn for ourselves, as well as deriving from that situation, will glorify Vrindavan Das Thakur, with whose help we are enjoying the pastimes of Gaurahari. Being mad about Krishna is unusual, unnatural for materialistic people. Being mad for materialistic things and materialistic power and position is unusual for spiritualists. But Acharya, he understands the madness of this materialistic world. Holding the madness for Krishna steps down to the level of discrimination to classify innocent, ignorant, idiots, and sincere practitioner and help them to grow in their Krishna consciousness. So let us acknowledge the madness and eventually be prepared to be part of this madness. Acknowledging the madness is because at the end of the day, we are supposed to be part of that madness, and we will eventually have to spread this madness, which is transcendental, glorious, and completely anti-material. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of being mad may be sounding unusual for materialistic people, but by the blessings of Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they are able to appreciate and try to even relate to this madness. Having said that, this stage of being mad for Krishna, mad in Krishna consciousness, is not imitated and it is gradually developed. For this gradual development of Krishna consciousness, three factors are seen as the basic need so that this science of madness in Krishna consciousness can be relished. I was hearing a class by His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So he was mentioning that if a person is apparently practicing Krishna consciousness, meaning his dress, attire, language, everything is Krishna conscious, but somewhere in his heart, if he carries duplicity, he won't be able to practice Krishna consciousness seriously and he will not be able to enjoy the madness of Krishna consciousness. The sense gratificatory propensity combined with our external Krishna consciousness declares ourselves as a kapata vyakti, duplicitous person. And the most important quality which can help us fight against this duplicity is simplicity. Maharaj was telling that to win over duplicity, we will have to embrace the saralata. Vaishnavism means simplicity. And one of the important components to achieve madness in Krishna consciousness is simplicity. If I am not simple, I will not be mad after Krishna, mad for Krishna, mad in Krishna consciousness. To explain this scenario, the Sankirtan mission's primary agenda of chanting and dancing can be taken. It is impossible for a person to dance in Sankirtan, to jump in front of the Lord, to be ecstatic when a person is not simple or does not subscribe to become simple. The Sankirtan mission, where the Lord is encouraging us to chant and dance, may apparently sound a very easy process, which is definitely one easy. But then what it is making us is, by simply participating in this Harinam Sankirtan, we are becoming simple just by shaking our legs, just by starting to shake our legs in the Kirtan. Slowly start to rock for the Kirtan. Slowly start to nod our head in the Kirtan. Slowly start clapping for the Kirtan. Slowly raising our hands in the Kirtan. Slowly swirling around the Kirtan. And slowly, slowly, you know, increasing the tempo and dancing in the Sankirtan mission. What is happening is, our duplicity is constantly being withered away. Knowingly, unknowingly, you will realize that you are losing your baggage. After a point in time, you will not know how you danced and how you lost all the inhibitions. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a class in Radha Gopinath temple, I'm telling, several years before. One of the famous festivals in Radha Gopinath temple is about the Pushya Abhishek. So nowadays, if you come to Pushabhishek in Radha Gopina Temple in Mumbai. Unless you are extremely talented or extremely fortunate, it is not possible to even enter the temple hall. But we had some good fortune in early days where we could go and be part of it inside and had our definitely wonderful time. So he was mentioning that a devotee brought some very, I don't remember the exact details of all the information about this particular episode. But what I very clearly remember is a devotee brought a colleague who happens to be somebody up in the corporate ladder for the Pushyabhishek. So usually after the lecture, when the kirtan is on, I'm sure some of you would have experienced this. So then it's only madness. We will all be dancing, jumping, screaming, throwing flowers at each other. And it's a fantastic, fantastic experience. I would like to confess that it was unusual for me in the initial times. But once you get into the groove, you are part of the, festival. It's wonderful. So Maharaj was explaining, this guy who came, when he initially saw he was, people were starting to dance and, asking him to come and, join to the dance. You cannot afford to stand alone. You will be, definitely pulled by someone. So this guy was pulled in and he was reluctant. And after a point in time, at the end, this guy was so much so dancing that, finally walked home completely as a lighter person. The point I'm trying to drive home as a very first reflection in this current context is that all the devotees who are trying to associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are experiencing his madness and they are becoming recipient of becoming mad in Krishna Prem. And we being the student of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, we are also getting prepared. We are also going to be part of this madness. And that madness is possible only when we relinquish duplicity and embrace simplicity. And Gaura Govinda Maharaj was mentioning that simplicity which a Vaishnava behold can be acquired only when you serve such a Vaishnava. So my reflection here is that the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was served, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conducted himself, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interacted and encouraged everyone, there were absolute layer of love and there is no layer of arrogance or formality, which otherwise, prior to going to Gaya, Nimai Pandita exhibited. So, prior to going to Gaya, Nimai Pandita exhibited a kind of madness and arrogance which everybody hated, which everybody were bewildered, which everybody were confused about. But now, when he is exhibiting a different type of madness, different type of ecstasy, different type of emotional exhibition, everybody is enjoying. And even though they are not able to relate or not able to understand the context of it, they are just enjoying and becoming a recipient. As this gentleman who came for the Pushyabhishek, he may not have understood the Siddhanta, but the net experience, he walks home as completely happy, transformed person, at least for that moment. So in our Krishna conscious journey, for us to be able to participate and really experience the mellows of Gaudiya Vaishnavism as experienced by Sachi Mata, Vishnupriya Devi, all the Navadvip Vasis, and whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give to everyone, we will have to embrace simplicity. Which means we'll have to peel off one layer of Upadhi. Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratyena Nirmalam Krishikena Krishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So, this upadhi to give up is a agenda by itself, which I think all through our devotional life, we are only fighting to give up our upadhi. The moment we are clean, we will be, you know, on the other side of the devotional, you know, scenario. So my first reflection into this current context is, when I was reading this, when I was reading the context just prior to that, and the way the loving exchanges of Sachi Mata with Nimai Pandita, with all the loving exchanges of devotees, and the kind of madness Mahaprabhu has been constantly exhibiting, we will only be able to participate when we are embracing, when we are becoming simple, when we are becoming a student of simplicity or servant of those Vaishnavas who are simple. So the second reflection that I want to mention here is about the current context where Mahaprabhu was looked after by Sachi Mata in a very with a very mixed emotions. Because Sachi Mata, right from the beginning, when Mahaprabhu came back, when Nimai Pandita came back from Gaya, she was a bit concerned, because she didn't want her son to be overly devotional, neither overly, arrogant. So she wanted to kind of have a balanced scenario and try to keep him on the ground, because he was completely in a very different state. So she tried all her strategies to keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu little calmer, little grounded. So she made Vishnu Priya dress up very nicely and come in front of the Lord. She tried to distract him. She tried to, you know, restrict him. She tried everything possible, but Nimai Pandita was not able to. And when he was not able to, he was, rather than, you know, controlling himself, he was trying to pull everyone and trying to go after everyone and making them, you know, chant. So when Nimai Pandita came back from the school after teaching, so she is trying to inquire or trying to set the conversation if, you know, he can tell what lessons he taught, and that can be a normal conversation. But you will see tomorrow that it is not possible for Nimai Pandita to have a normal conversation. He'll immediately go back to, you know, Krishna consciousness. So this dealing with a person who is situated in a transcendental frame of mind is also something, an important and a very difficult task. It is not easy. It is not also, it is also a rare scene to get into association with self-realized soul. Once there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So this disciple was a temple president, and he was given in charge. I mean, as every temple president, they were supposed to be maintaining a standard that Srila Prabhupada had set in those days. And on that particular day, Srila Prabhupada was also in the temple. Generally, it is a routine in ISKCON temple that after Mangala Arati, after Japa is over, just before Darshan Arati, the temple hall is clean. At least this is the system even till today in many of the Indian temples. I have seldom seen them in other temples overseas because of lack of manpower or various other reasons. But they every day have to clean and mop the floor, wipe the floor, mop the floor. So one day what happened was Prabhupada came for the Darshan Arati, and he found a small leaf, a dry leaf on the floor. So he called the temple president and he blasted him. Left, right, center, he scolded the temple president. And the temple president was actually very upset, because actually the temple hall was clean, and just because of the wind, one or two leaves, flew and fell on the floor. So he was very upset. Said, in spite of me, you know, we doing this service, if you have to get scolded, you know, what's the benefit? So he went and he didn't participate in the morning program. And when Prabhupada came to his room, he went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I am very, very, you know, upset. I'm quitting ISKCON. This is not happening. This is not done. And so Prabhupada, in a very lighter mode and, you know, to calm him, he also pounced on the table that I will also quit ISKCON. So then both of them laughed, and Prabhupada, you know, kind of explained that it is important when we are performing deity worship, when we are performing, when we are trying to serve the Lord, when we are trying to look after the Lord, it is important that we have a very high standard of cleanliness in consciousness and cleanliness in the surroundings. So this Prabhu, I personally heard from him. He shared in one of the Prabhupada Kathas during the 25th anniversary of Prabhupada's disappearance, 2002, in Vrindavan Dham. He said, it was not easy to, you know, serve or, you know, satisfy Srila Prabhupada. He had a very high standard, but it was easier because he allowed us, he accommodated us, and he embraced us and took us along. The kind of standard that it is expected of us in practicing Krishna consciousness is not very, very easy, because the place where we are coming from, the behavior and conduct and culture where we have, you know, been through in the last few lifetimes, it is unnatural for us to be clean in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada knew that. So from transforming happy hippies to happies, and from each of us to become whatever we are so far, it was Prabhupada's and all the acharyas, all the spiritual masters' mercy upon us to make us, you know, suitable to perform devotional service. The point I was trying to drive home is that, as a reflection here, that it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who tried to, you know, by his conduct, by his pushiness, by his consistent preaching, he was trying to somehow or other get us into the zone of practicing Krishna consciousness in a manner by which we will be accepted. And he was patient enough, kind enough, and he stepped down to the level of the sadhaka to help him practice take up Krishna consciousness. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, he knew what our standards were, and he was trying to help us take up Krishna consciousness. And this is something our entire parampara has been doing. So in accepting our offering, in reciprocating to our offering, accepting our conduct, in reciprocating to our with our conduct, it was all you know, greatness of these souls to accept and allow us to be part of this you know, service you know, service processes, so that we are able to get qualified to enter the zone of transcendental mellow. Whilst explaining about the process of Krishna consciousness, one of our proper disciples, by name Atma Tattva Prabhu, he mentions that there are four books that Srila Prabhupada gave us: Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. And he was explaining how Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion are two books. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita helps us to get ourselves established in Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness principle, and established Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. But when you read Nectar of Devotion, you learn to know the code of conduct of how to conduct yourself in Vaishnavism. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata, you see them in action. When you read the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata, you will see that code of conduct being implemented. So, what I was enjoying is when explaining about these situations, Vrindavan Das Thakura is going through every finer detail, how the prasadam was cooked, how the prasadam was offered, in what mood they were done, in what, in a very narrative manner, not only to, you know, keep the narration complete, but it is to also explain certain, you know, finer nuances of devotional sentiments that we need to, you know, take care. So when Sachi Mata trying to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sachi Mata had mixed emotions, both in terms of love as well as in terms of fear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not become like my elder son. Nimai should not become like my elder son. So she had multiple mixed emotions, and actually that emotion, that deep love, completely untouched by, you know, materialistic modes, was enjoyed by the Lord. And when we read them, we are also enjoying them. So the loving exchange is, that is why Mahaprabhu, exclusively for Sachi Mata, he took the decision of not settling in Vrindavan Dham, rather settling in Jagannath Puri. So the loving exchanges of devotees with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the reciprocation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for those loving exchanges, is something which we will enjoy, and we can also try to learn. And this is an extension of the first reflection, where simplicity will lead us to be able to be part of that journey. If we are not simple, we will not be able to get that loving exchanges and emotions between the Lord and his dear devotees. Just to become technically clear, the sloka where the foodstuffs were offered to Visvakshena, there is a purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are slokas that the purport is very nicely mentioning who is Visvakshena and why that offering needs to be done. So these details tells us that Krishna is a person, and he has to be dealt like a person. That is why when we do deity worship, in the deity worship standard, it is not just that we just go and perform some formality. It is done in a mood that the Supreme Lord is, you know, personally present, and we worship him like a king, or, you know, that is the upachara, the kind of respects that we give them. In our deity worship, those are all part of deity worship, you know what the purport of text number 190 is talking about. We always give the Lord to wash the feet, wash his hands, after, you know, giving prasadam, you know, give, you know, punarachamaniya, achamaniya, padya. There are so many, you know, several steps of deity worships are explained. But one other detail that, you know, Shripad Sridhara Maharaj is mentioning is that it is generally a procedure that bhoga is offered to the Lord and the Mahaprasadam is offered to Visvakshena, who is called the commander-in-chief of the army of, you know, the Supreme Lord. Visvakshena is also expansion of one of the expansions of first primary expansions of, from the primary expansions of the Supreme Lord. He is commander-in-chief, and he is responsible for removing all the obstacles in the, you know, deity worship processes. So the reason this is explained is Mother Sachi, she was very particular in seeing to that there is no evil eye, there are no bad elements when it is coming to the Supreme Lord's service. This is part of the procedure also, and it is part of the mood also. So hence I want to summarize my second reflection by saying, based on our first reflection, to be simple, to be simple is Vaishnavism, and with that simplicity we will be able to be part of the madness in Krishna consciousness. We will eventually be madness in Krishna consciousness, and we will eventually make others part of that. And to do that in our journey, we will also need to learn that we'll have to become a patra, we'll have to become a, you know, personality where the Lord chooses us to deliver the special mercy only when he sees a simplicity in your heart. And as a reciprocation, Vaishnavas also look after the Lord as if they are looking after their family. So it's a very interesting loving exchange. The third aspect and the last aspect of today's reflection is something that I have learned it from His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu. It's about a very interesting set of qualities that when we try to build it up, we will be able to eventually establish bhakti in our heart. So this recently he gave a talk, and some of you who are following him would have read from his posting also, where he was trying to mention that when a person is a recipient of the mercy of the Lord, and if he is also attached to the Lord's devotees. So basically, when a person is a recipient of the mercy of the Lord, and simultaneously if he is attached to his devotees, then two qualities manifest in his heart. This he is trying to bring out from Kavi Karnapur's Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natakam, where he is trying to explain that the mother is mercy of the Lord and the father is our father is mercy of the Lord and mother is the attachment to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, or being attached to the Vaishnavas. A son called Viveka and a daughter Bhakti gets manifested. So meaning, if you are recipient of the mercy of the Lord and being attached to the devotees, what manifests is discrimination and devotion. And when discrimination combined with thoughtfulness, matihi, when viveka combined with matihi, thoughtfulness, we will become non-envious. With non-enviousness, if we add equanimity, we will be able to invoke natural purity in our heart and we will be friendly and develop friendship, maitri. So he was very nicely explaining that in our devotional journey, as you grow, as we move closer to Krishna consciousness and the emotional part of Krishna consciousness, all the other baggages and technical informations and philosophical things are given secondary priority. How we deal with finer and nuances of relationships are given utmost importance, because Krishna consciousness is residing there. So when I was asking him, is the reverse is true? He said the reverse is also true. Meaning, when I develop friendship with devotees, when I am trying to become Suhrida Sarvadehinam, then eventually that process, the reverse process, will give us lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and develop attachments to his devotees. So my third reflection to point to this point is, maybe it's an extrapolation of the context, where in our journey to Krishna consciousness, if somehow or other we become the recipient of the mercy of the Lord, and if somehow or other, if you are able to develop attachment to the devotees, just being attached to the devotees, then we will be able to develop discrimination. Today, half of the time we are suffering because we do not know to discriminate. So that's exactly Mahaprabhu's conduct after coming back from Gaya. He is trying to discriminate. This is useless. Just take up and be part of the Sankirtan mission. And he's just not able to tolerate anyone who is not able to take up Krishna consciousness. So he's kind of becoming overreactive apparently, and exhibiting his madness. So that discrimination, that viveka, is very important. Because today, especially grahasthas, especially congregation members, we are supposed to deal with so many society transactions apart from Krishna consciousness. So we should be very careful. How do we discriminate? What to give ourselves in? What to be careful about? So discrimination. And he's saying you have to add thoughtfulness, because discrimination alone is not enough. Discrimination combined with matihi, thoughtfulness. You'll be extremely thoughtful, then you'll develop non-enviousness. So Kavi Karnapur's explanation is, he is giving it in a very good allegorical form. But then these qualities, he says this is called family line of bhakti. Generation one, its father and mother is, mercy of the Lord and attachment to devotees. Generation two, viveka and matihi gives to, anusya, which is non-enviousness. Anusya combined with equanimity, samabhavam. Equanimity means I'm trying to see everything in connection with Krishna. I'm trying to see everything as energy of the Lord. I'm trying to see everything as mercy of the Lord. I'm trying to see everything as Krishna's rather than mine. In that context, I'm able to appreciate, I'm able to respect, I'm able to relate. So when non-enviousness and samabhavam combine, what happens? We have our swabhava and our heart becomes really pure, and we are friend with everyone. We will develop friendship. So the bottom line here is, somehow or other, by doing all this harikatha, discussions, forums and all those things, what I want to conclude here is, somehow or other, we should develop friendship and eventually become mad in Krishna consciousness. So the sum and substance of the last 40 minutes of my, you know, my sharing these thoughts is, can we somehow or other allow ourselves to become mad in Krishna consciousness by developing friendship in Krishna consciousness? And this friendship meaning all those things to be eliminated. We are supposed to eliminate enviousness. We are supposed to be thoughtful. We are supposed to be having a natural way of exhibiting, not some sort of a copycat or trying to become imitator. So by this, our natural friendship amongst devotees, when it is get built up, and we will all be able to start dancing and enjoying the Krishna Katha. And this entire feel of emotion is presented in Chaitanya Bhagavata by our dearest Vrindavan Das Thakur. For those of you who may not know Vrindavan Das Thakur's, how did he get all these things? This is all very scientific, where Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother, Malini, is the niece of Srivas Thakur. So right at the crux of the important period of Mahaprabhu's coming back from Gaya and starting the nocturnal Sankirtan mission. So at that time, Malini Devi, who is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, she happened to be a very small girl, and she used to be visiting, or she used to be living with Srivas Thakur in his house. So Malini Devi witnessed all the madness, all the emotions, all the deeper sentiments, because you cannot enjoy Chaitanya Bhagavata or Chaitanya Charitamrita if you do not subscribe to these two points. You don't understand, this is full of madness, because going forward, every conversation will be, you know, if you try to present that madness into a technical scenario, it will be, you know, slightly interesting to see that. But the idea is that you have to eliminate the technicalities and just enjoy the madness. And that madness is because of the transcendental friendship, the transcendental loving relationship that they all had, and the transcendental loving attachment they all had for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Malini Devi witnessed every, you know, part of those days. And over and above that, she was also, Srivas Thakur's wife and Srivas Thakur's family, who are so attached to Vrindavan Das Thakura, is giving, narrating so many other details to Malini Devi about how Nimai used to be there. So, because when they saw Mahaprabhu's transformation, they also explained, you know, this boy, he was not like this before. So then they told her all his childhood naughtiness also, which in turn, Malini Devi is, narrating to Vrindavan Das Thakur as he was a child, when he was a small boy, when he was a baby, Vrindavan. So his, night stories are nothing but Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes. We just would have read, you all would have read the verse number 185. It is said, the purport of these pastimes are known only to the Vedas, but later some of these pastimes will be revealed by the Puranas. So there is a very famous saying still today, that Vrindavan Das Thakura, who is actually Vyasa Avatara in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, because several great personalities, they appeared and participated in the Sankirtan mission, and Vyasadeva came as Vrindavan Das Thakura and compiled this Chaitanya Bhagavata. And he himself is making this point that these pastimes, what you are seeing, what we are reading, what we are you know, trying to discuss, you hardly know anything, because to really know it, these pastimes are very hidden. Why is he saying they are all in the, you know, known only to the Vedas? Because any content in the Vedas are in the cryptic form, or in a very concise form, or in a very inaccessible form. So we need somebody to come and extract and give them for all of us to relish. So he is trying to say that what he is trying to do, this service, in the future, this service will be, you know, done in a much elaborate manner. So the famous prophecy, or the famous statements that people say in Mayapur, Navadip, even these days, is Vrindavan Das Thakura is eventually going to come next time in the next Kali Yuga, or whenever the next opportunity, it is going, our Srimad Bhagavatam is going to be combined, elaborated, along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental pastimes. So Vrindavan Das Thakura's participation and narration, if you see the entire Chaitanya Bhagavata, how much ever I have studied, it has got very less technical information, and it has got more and more of loving emotions. And if I can say this, that this is how a preaching is done. Typically, our preaching is done with Jive Daya. Jive Daya, in a sense, when Prabhupada was giving, you know, any philosophy to us, it was love. It was love given to us in the, through the philosophy. It is important that we have to study the philosophy, but it's all the more important that we'll have to absorb the emotions embedded in the philosophy. So when Chaitanya Bhagavat was presented, or even Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least Chaitanya Charitamrita has got several technical conversations, and you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining several things to Rupa Sanatana. And but Chaitanya Bhagavat, as much as I have studied or, you know, been through, that Mahaprabhu's all the wonderful loving exchanges and emotions between Mahaprabhu and his associates were very nicely, you know, structured by Vrindavan Das Thakura. His birthplace is a place in one of the islands in Navadvip. There's a place called Mam Gachi, that is called Ayodhya Puri of Navadvip Dham. In Navadvip Dham, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested, brought down all the holy places. So Mam Gachi is considered as Ayodhya of Navadvip Dham, and that's where even till now we will be able to see the deities worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakura is still there. It's a very, very beautiful place, and we used to have a devotee by name Jagat Bandhu Prabhu. I'm not sure how many of you know him there. We have been there every time when we go to Mayapur. We try to go to Mam Gachi, and at least, I mean, I don't know how many times we have seen this devotee, Jagat Bandhu. He's a very old man. He's no more. He's a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So he was explaining about the pastimes over there. And when we see his service mood, when we see his emotions towards his devotees, he hardly used to speak any other language apart from Bengali. With whatever little Hindi, whatever little broken communication that he had picked up. Because from his age 7 till almost 85, 90, all his service was doing the service of deity worship in Mam Gachi, just behind Vrindavan Das Thakura's house. There is a temple of, there is a tree where Mahaprabhu had, you know, been coming there during the, from every time he used to come from his house to the school. On the way, they cross via Ganges and they go via Mam Gachi. So every time when he used to come, he used to play underneath the tree, and that tree is there in Mam Gachi. So this Jagat Bandhu Prabhu, I think his name is Jagat Bandhu Prabhu, he used to always narrate wonderful pastimes, and used to exhibit a very wonderful mood of a servant. You know, we used to always imagine how the Vanara Sena and all the Rama Bhaktas, they are having a wonderful Dasya Bhav. So he used to exhibit there. So Vrindavan Das Thakura's contribution for our Gaudiya Vaishnavism, according to my limited understanding, is to give the madness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited without any layer of attachment of any frills, just pure love. And to understand this pure love, you have to have the prerequisites, which Srila Prabhupada has very nicely provided through his Bhaktivedanta purports in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. If we are blessed to have read all of those things, then we will be able to appreciate. And all these emotions, he is walking, he is talking, he is crying, he is rolling on the floor. And all those things are then only appreciated. Otherwise, it's all, you know, so what? Tell me next. So we will be, you know, not able to see them in the right context. So Vrindavan Das Thakura's, contribution. Today is his appearance day. So we are very much indebted to him, and we must offer our obeisances to him to have given us this wonderful literature, this, you know, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, in a manner in which he has given. And of course, thanks to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to have translated, and thanks to all the publishers to have made it available. And thanks to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group organizers to have made an opportunity. Even though I am not qualified to scratch on the surface of this madness, but at least I am seeing that there is a madness here. And last but not least, I just want to say that these narrations, or these descriptions, they are to be dealt completely with different frame of mind, with different emotions. Otherwise, if you technically try to understand or try to technically explain, so we will be not doing a full justification. So I'm not sure if I'm the right person to justify the justification of these pages, but at least I tried to share whatever limited I could. And finally, as preachers, as practitioners, as devotees in Krishna consciousness movement, it is extremely important that we need to carry this Jive Doya. What is Jive Doya that we need to carry? Because Name Ruchi, Jive Doya, Vaishnava Seva. When we carry Jive Doya, then our delivery of content will be with love. When we don't carry Jive Doya, our delivery of content or, you know, speaking will be with technical as well as, philosophical content. Our acharyas, our great personalities, whoever has given any purports, their intent has not been clearly to make us scholars. It's one of the side agenda is to make us devotees, which means we have to definitely get into that madness, and we have to definitely distribute that madness with utmost love, with utmost Jive Daya. And today, everybody is bereft of that love, and Chaitanya Bhagavat has got that love. So we need to systematically elevate. So to summarize our conversation today, we spoke from duplicity, why a person with duplicity is not able to relish or participate or appreciate this Krishna consciousness philosophy and Krishna consciousness topics presented in Chaitanya Bhagavata, because it is full of transcendental loving exchanges and madness. And to eliminate the duplicity, we need simplicity. And simplicity is with Vaishnavism. And Vaishnavism means associating with such simple devotees in a manner by which we are serving them and inheriting that simplicity from them. So this entire Chaitanya Bhagavata or the loving exchanges, whether in this context or even the other context for that matter, is all imbued with that simplicity and with utmost superlativeness of devotional sentiments, which we see Mahaprabhu's family members are even exhibiting here. So we need to somehow or other get into their shoes by gradually elevating our consciousness and also trying to, get into the finer aspects of sentimental aspects of sincere aspects of practicing of Krishna consciousness and give up all the other upadhis. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam. And finally, all these things are possible when we understand the qualities that Kavi Karnapur has very nicely given in his allegory, that let's try to grab the mercy of the Lord, be a recipient of the mercy of the Lord, and be attached to his devotees, and eventually become friends with Krishna's devotees and also Sukhita the Sarvadevi. So thank you so much. I am not sure if I didn't it makes sense here, but in case if I am not, excuse me. And if there are any questions, comments, reflections, feedback, I'm happy to listen. Parantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shishu Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai, Vitaya Gaurav Premanande Hare.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a wonderful class and very nice glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So nice to hear from you, Prabhuji. We have raised hands. Krishnai Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Hare Krishna Prabhu. It was so enlightening and it was deep understanding that what importance of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also I didn't hear or I didn't understand that kind of that you said that the Vaishnava, how they act, then we can also learn, we can also understand through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the mood and how they behave, the Vaishnava Acharan. That's awesome. And Prabhuji, the one thing is you say that the Siddhanta, we may taking part of the all the Krishna conscious activities, but we may not understand that the Siddhanta. So how do we understand and when we'll understand and how we'll understand that Siddhanta Mala? But it's everything is there by Srila Prabhupada's mercy.
But His Holiness Hanumat Prashek Maharaj once said this to me. I mean, in our conversation when we were together, he's always very jovial and whatever he says. He says sometimes we should give such a class with so much of content that nobody understands. And finally, they come to realize that how great Krishna consciousness is. I'm whistling in a very joking way. The point is, not understanding some of the Siddhanta is itself a Siddhanta. The idea is that we are, that doesn't mean that we are supposed to, confuse people or try to, make it complicated. I'll just say 3 points with respect to what you asked for. Number one, that our endeavor is always, to learn, to apply what we have heard proportionate to the surrender that we have. So when we are hearing any Siddhanta class or when we are hearing any content or any lecture for that matter, this is the understanding that I have derived in my last 34 years of Krishna consciousness. Several classes, several content, several purports, several commentaries, so many things. They are all given. Bhanuswami Maharaj, personally, I spoke to him on this point. It was in the year October 2000. I was in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. Maharaj was there. I asked Maharaj, if you have Hare Krishna Mahamantra, why do you have to read all these purports and all these these things? He said, yeah, you don't need. You just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Then he gave a pause and he said, but still, Rupa Goswami, knowing Hare Krishna Mahamantra is there, he still wrote purports. He still gave so much of Siddhanta for us to even study them. But what he meant, or what in our conversation that I could derive, was that all the Siddhanta that is presented, they are supposed to be meant for our application. An application proportionate to your surrender. You don't apply everything that you read tomorrow. So that is number one point. Number two point is, we don't need to know every aspect of Krishna because you cannot know. Ananda Sesha is saying that I cannot understand everything of Krishna. So even if you do not understand every bit of the Siddhanta, probably it's okay. So long as the basic context and the mood and the devotional sentiments of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is understood. I'm not trying to discourage, eliminate the importance of scrutinizing this study. I'm saying if you don't understand, but if you are able to appreciate, so that is enough. So sometimes we might force ourselves, we might push ourselves into it where we are not able to naturally appreciate, naturally able to relate and get bogged down. So that's where I'm saying this. And the third and most important aspect of it is with respect to these Vaishnava moods and emotions. is this is something very unique of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, and the loving exchanges of Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and devotees amongst themselves. This is something that we need to learn to appreciate, try to understand, and see if we can slowly inherit them by being with such devotees. So, and whilst being with devotees, what we never understood as a Siddhanta will become very easy for us to understand. So, what we would be otherwise trying to understand by technical analysis, technical reading, will be very easily understandable when you associate with devotees and get their blessings or association. So, am I making some sense, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. If that's what I don't understand, but I still hear it, and I don't know. I have a shraddha. I mean, I don't know. I have a shraddha or not. But I say someday maybe it will manifest, even though I don't understanding. But I, that's what I. Hare Krishna.
You will be transformed. Sometimes we need not understand everything, but to understand that I am, I am trying to be servant of Krishna is a very good understanding. So our understanding is not analytical understanding. We are not here to conclude our understanding analytically alone. It's important to have the analytic understanding, but it's beyond. It is emotional understanding. I've several times quoted this point. Read Nectar of Devotion, chapter 14, first paragraph. Prabhupada writes. Prabhupada says that, it's a very, very famous point. He says, knowledge and renunciation helps a person to raise up in your consciousness up to some stage. After a point in time, I'm just paraphrasing, I don't have that in front of me. After that point in time, what persist you, what sustain you in Krishna consciousness is your sincerity and sentiments in Krishna consciousness. So what you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita is only sentiments. Why Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate study? Because prior to come to sentiments, you need to have some knowledge. You need to have some sort of renunciation and vairagya and tyaga and all those things. But when we come to Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's only sentiment and sincerity. There is very less philosophy. Okay, there is philosophy, but it's more of loving exchanges. So the message is that please continue reading as much as you can from the perspective of applying what you have understood and applying proportionate to your surrender. You need not apply beyond what you have surrendered yourself to. And then remaining, it will remain unanswered or unclear, but the process at some point in time will reveal themselves to you and you'll be knowledgeable. There are several examples where Vaishnavas have exhibited this. I do not understand this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the songs, he's confessing this, or at least he's helping us to meditate, what our shortcomings are. But at the end, he says still, we will be taken, home back to God. Okay?
Prabhu, I got one more question, quick question. It's like, we have a tattva, which is spiritual truth. So, why it is necessary to understand the tattva and spiritual truth?
At least you should know who you are, your father is. You should know what is your constitutional position is. Your Swarupa Siddhi will be revealed. Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada, what is my Swarupa? Prabhupada says, when you become really qualified, you will get to know your Swarupa. It will be revealed to you. He is explaining about that in Nectar of Instructions, Shloka 8, purport. So, what, according to our current understanding, what is expected of us is four things. Atato Brahma Jignyasa, who you are. What is your relationship with the Supreme Lord? What is the nature of this material world? And how, in this current context, you will be able to work on that relationship. So, the process, so identity of yourself, identity of your destination, the challenges of this material world, and the process to overcome the challenge. If these four are clearly understood, rest everything else on the way, you will be getting clearer. So these four are itself considered as fundamental understanding as our constitutional identity. Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. To get to that understanding itself is very important. Not everybody could get there or able to accept that easily. The rest, all those things are, you know, derivatives of these things. Without this understanding, your relationship or your transaction with this material world will become really colored, and you will not be able to conduct yourself properly. Any sense?
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, sir. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful answers. I really like the point that you are telling, like understanding theoretically or like knowledge purpose is not that important. Understanding it by cleansing our heart or getting love of Krishna in our heart, that is the more important thing that you have pointed out. Like very nice, Prabhuji, because sometimes even I have a problem when there is a lot of deep philosophies taught, I will not understand that. I would go very easily with the pastimes and things like that. But your answer helped me and encouraged me to go further, even though if I don't understand the topic. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Sukaka Krishna Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Ram Girdhar Prabhu, so nice to meet you. My brother has come from Bombay and he remembered he met you for Guru Maharaj Vyas Puja. He was glorifying you. Prabhu, I got one question. See, I am in the ISKCON from 1989. I joined in Mombasa, Nairobi. And I heard from Indra Prabhu that while chanting, you have to first make an attentive chanting. You have to listen what you chant. And at the time, the naam aparad will go off. And the next is awareness, where you try to understand why you are chanting. What is that Prabhupada story that we should go and back to Radharani for service? And the next level is absorption in chanting. The second level is namabhas and then shuddha naam. So, this attentive, I'm trying to chant attentively, I'm trying to remember why I'm what I'm doing. The third level, it is told that you'll be seeing the Leela, Damodar Leela going on directly. I'm trying to bring it, but I'm not getting absorbed. So can we just explain on that? So that should, I don't know when it will come.
Wow. Okay. You're putting me on a spot. You know, I'm not sure if I am Acharya, you know, anywhere close to what Indra Prabhu has experienced and seen this. But I'll give you a technical answer. The technical answer is given in Nectar of Instruction, Shloka number 8, purport, second paragraph. Prabhupada exactly talks about 5 stages of evolution of consciousness. And he's saying what has to be added, what has to be subtracted, from transmigrating from one stage to the other stage. He's saying this from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. Smaranam, Dharanam, Jnanam, Duruvanusmriti, and Samadhi. There are 5 stages of absorption. Smaranam is general remembrance. Dharanam is little deeper, you know, meditation. Dhyanam is absorption. Duruvanusmriti is the stage where I am already aligned myself. So Prabhupada very nicely explains the paragraph number 2 and 3 of Nectar of Instruction, Shloka number 8, gives an elaborate explanation for this. So with respect to, you know, chanting and our conduct and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves, I'm not the right person to answer this because I am myself struggling in my own, you know, settling in my chanting stages. But for sure, we all have heard umpteen number of times that if you start somehow or other mechanically, it is like in sadhana bhakti, we say. In sadhana bhakti, we are supposed to follow the rules. Need not worry why those rules. Just follow the rules. Just follow. Get up in the morning. Wear tilak. Wear kanti mala. Why? You do not know. You may not have necessary emotions. Just do the follow the rules. And sadhana bhakti, by constantly doing it, I think I shared in one of the earlier classes, one of the Alvars are singing in their song. Poyen, poyen, endru solli meyen aagi vandene. I've been bluffing around that I've been being a devotee. I've tried to behave, conduct myself a devotee in the group of devotees. Somehow I got transformed myself to a devotee. He was not trying to establish the duplicity part here. He's trying to establish that in spite of my nonsense, because I was in the cloud of devotees, I could somehow got transformed. So sadhana bhakti, purpose of sadhana bhakti is by forcefully putting my senses and consciousness into some Krishna consciousness activities so that naturally we are able to develop loving emotions. And for which Prabhupada is giving
an explanation. Is it fake it and make it, like just faking and then making it?
So I do not want to say that exact word faking, because sometimes it is seen as, so it is not faking, it is struggling to make it and eventually making it. So I am struggling, I am agreeing, Krishna, I want to be attentive, but I am not able to be attentive, so I am struggling. It is like the child trying to walk. So that's exactly Prabhupada is telling in his recording, in his Hare Krishna Mahamantra explanation. He says, we are not, whenever we are preaching, we are not giving Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is already there. We are just removing the layer of ignorance and illusion from somebody. So by introducing everyone into this process of Krishna consciousness, we are not introducing Krishna consciousness into everyone. You are already, by your constitutional nature, you are a servant of the Supreme Lord. I am a servant of the Supreme Lord. Just that how much layer of mud and muck is covering that is the challenge. So this chanting process removes them, completely remove them. So by we trying to elevate our consciousness by mechanical arrangement, the advantage is the mechanical arrangement puts us into a routine. The routine puts us into some sort of a consistency. The consistency start to slowly give some sort of a taste. And in association with devotees, as well as the executing service, some frill elements are removed. So then you start to enjoy. So this is a very scientific process. So that is why a chanting should always be associated with association and services. If somebody is only simply chanting, it's glorious. But at some point in time, he has to. Because the chanting, he is asking, please engage me in your service. So that is why I always say, devotees, do you have a service? Do you have a service that your spiritual master or your spiritual authorities have given you? Please, you know, cling on to that. Several episodes, our episode of Anantacharya pastime, episode of Kuvaresh, episode of Dasarathi, episode of Srinivasacharya, episode of Narottam Das Thakur, take anyone, all the six Goswamis, Prabhupada, all they have done is they have executed the service. Take the episodes of all the current contemporary Acharyas. So they have taken the service of what Prabhupada has given. Guru Maharaj, Chaitanya Maharaj has been only simply repeating what Prabhupada has asked him to do. Loknath Maharaj is constantly saying what Prabhupada has asked him to do. So the idea is chanting, we should have committed, accountable, responsible services for which we need to have a senior to give service to us, evaluate us. And we should have a devotees association. This combination will make it much more better. Then we will be able to see, I presume, at some point in time in our lives, we will be able to participate, transport ourselves to the Leela of the Lord. The Leela will. It's not our by endeavor Leela will come in front of us. It is the Leela which will come on its own, you know, when we ourselves become ready. Am I making some sense, Prabhu? You have muted yourself, Prabhu.
When I'm chanting alone, I'm not able to get that concentration. But when I'm the Zoom chanting from morning 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, maybe all not 3 hours, 2 hours I chant. So many sounds come, but my sound I listen. So I found that more absorbing than chanting alone and getting sleepy and mood goes up. So is it okay that I chant every day with the group and then while do also chanting after that and trying to somehow come 32 or 48, whatever possible to do that and get...
Whatever it takes to get excited and get that transcendental feeling. I guess one girl went to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, the process that you have recommended of chanting is so wonderful, so wonderful. Every day when I chant, a red light come in front of my eyes. Prabhupada in a very shrugging way said that, keep chanting, that will also go away. So sometimes, we, kind of, think that we have achieved that mellow. But I guess my point is that what takes you to the stage of simplicity, what takes you to the stage of being natural in your process? Because the idea is, from sadhana bhakti, you have to get to bhava bhakti. Vaidhi sadhana to raganuga. So from vaidhi sadhana bhakti to raganuga, raganuga means, you're naturally, you do not have to, somebody need not push on you. You have to be able to naturally do this, and what it takes, if you're able to be in Zoom call, somebody in Zoom call, somebody walking, somebody sitting, somebody alone, somebody, with earplugs on, I guess we have to work out our own, there is no one strategy. There are multiple strategies. I guess you can share some more strategies. Some of us can even latch onto it. But I agree. Yes, when we are at the association of devotees, that vibration, that environment, that awareness that I am surrounded with devotees also inspires.
Thank you, Prabhu. Last question, Prabhu. The chanting is one process and Kirtan is second process and hearing Bhagavatam. I find the Bhagavatam, when I hear your class and all, I'm very absorbed and something is going inside. While singing also, Hare Krishna, so we are getting enjoyment. But the chanting enlightenment is not coming, Prabhu. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's doing, but that is that what is that? That happiness is not happening inside. It's not like
it is happening. It is not probably experienced because the process is burning so many layers of
sin.
I don't want to use the word sin. So many layers of unwanted things. Because first layer is nonsense. Second layer is something looks like sense, but it's not sense. It's actually nonsense. The third layer is actually where the actual devotion starts. We are only, working on the first two layers. Gross nonsense is removed. But second layer of what we think as sense is actually nonsense is to be removed. Because this, Vaishnava Ke, in the book of Vaishnava Ke, very nicely Guru Maharaj is explaining this. In purport number 2, sloka number 2, he says, there is a weed which is next to Bhakti Lata Beej, which looks exactly similar to Bhakti, but it is not Bhakti. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, only by an expert guidance, you will be able to differentiate. All the while you will be thinking, oh, what a devotion I am doing. One fine day, your spiritual master or your spiritual authority say, oh my God, this is a nonsense, give this up. You will have a shock of your life. Because you will be thinking that, I thought this is bhakti, I have been watering this. But this is not even a bhakti. Probably that layer has to be removed. That is why I said that, the layer of simplicity, because it is extremely difficult to be simple. And it's extremely easy to be complicated. That is the nature of this current material world. So to become simple, so many baggages have to be given up. And so when you are chanting, that is why I was giving the example of dancing in the kirtan. So that is why our yoga dharma is not chanting. Chanting is for our personal purification. Yoga dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. Going out to the streets, dancing in the kirtan, getting everybody to come along with you. So if we somehow or other, able to participate in that and dance, we will be able to shed weight as well as baggages of all the nonsense within our heart. So better that, coming from a South Indian, arrogant, smartha Brahmin family, it was difficult for me to even accept this to dance because the traditional sitting is you go and sit in some corner, close your eyes or try to do some other acrobatic. But here you have to give up all of these things. I'll tell you with a small story. Hyderabad temple, 1974 or 75, Srila Prabhupada was installing Radha Madan Mohan Ji DDs. And those days, ISKCON didn't have Brahmanas, or as much as today. So, Prabhupada had to bring some Brahmanas from Tirupati, Sri Vaishnavas. So, they did 7 days or 5 days program of performing the DT installation ceremony. On the last day, after DT installation was over, final Aarti was going on, and Vishnu Jana Maharaj, who's one of the Narada Munis of ISKCON, and he used to have fantastic kirtan. So he started singing, and his kirtan kept on increasing to a point in time that everybody started to dance. So these pandits who were performing the ceremony for all the 5 days, they were watching for some time. After a point in time, they themselves couldn't control. So they also started to raise their hands up and started to dance in the kirtan. Then Prabhupada called his disciple and said, pointing to them, saying that this is the essence of our Krishna consciousness movement. So the essence of our Krishna consciousness movement, we will do by deity worship, we will do all the paddhatis, processes, upacharas, everything. But the essence, net essence is what we spoke today, becoming mad for Krishna, mad after Krishna, mad in Krishna consciousness. So, till we get that madness, that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by Ishwarapuri. When Prakash Ananda Saraswati asked, hey, come and study Vedanta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I cannot, because my Gurudev said, I am foolish. He has given me a mantra. He said, chant till you get mad after this. So, I am working on it. So, that's the same thing is applicable for all of us.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We have Nitya Narasimha Prabhu. Please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Such an enlightening class, Prabhuji. Even your answers are directly like shooting arrow to the point. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Prabhu, chanting, like I heard from some senior devotees that even if you are doing online Zoom chanting, we should mute others and we should hear ours first, because different devotees are chanting in the different tones and different the frequency and all it. So is that okay, Prabhu? We should hear our own mantra. Then
we should hear our own mantra is the primary agenda. I was trying to explain to Sukhukar Prabhu that chanting strategies are not one, they are many. Different people need different strategies. Somebody need dark room. Somebody need lit room. Somebody needs surrounded by people. Somebody doesn't have anything. The bottom line is, this is like how much, Prabhu, how to eat prasadam, which prasadam to eat, how much to eat, is the kind of scenario here. This is very simple. You please eat in a manner by which you can digest and in a manner that it can nourish you. So chanting is like that. So for somebody, it is, actually, they have to be secluded in a particular place. They cannot manage another sound. Actually, there's a class by Hari Parshad Prabhu recently, maybe a few months before, he gave it on three different forms of sound vibration. Japa, mantra, and kirtana. So, japa is where what you murmur. So, you just chant to that extent that you hear. Mantra is something that you chant inside, nobody else hear. Kirtan is you chant so that everybody hears. So you japa, you hear to an extent. Jayapataka Maharaj, they had a fantastic Prabhupada Katha ceremony in Mayapur few years before, maybe I think 10 years before. So maybe that's the first time in Mayapur they had this festival, maybe 10, 15 years, whatever years before. So, Rukmini Mataji or some other devotee, they were explaining a leela that happened in Toronto or Montreal. Montreal, yes. So, Jayapataka Maharaj had this habit of chanting very loud. So, he used to be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, everybody went and complained to Prabhupada, saying that Prabhupada, this guy is chanting so loud that we are not able to chant. So, then Prabhupada called him and said that, it's good that you are chanting enthusiastically, but see to that if you are not disturbing in others chanting. And if you want to chant loudly, you go to the top of the mountain, sit there and scream and chant. Nobody is going to stop you. So the point is that there is no singular strategy that we should be, declaring this is the strategy for chanting, but for only one, that please attentively hear what you chant. It's your mantra, then others' mantra. You're right. But sometimes we are able to tune up to our own mantra when we are surrounded by other mantras. So It's all very subjective scenario. Am I making sense?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yes, yes.
Yes.
This is very... Thank you. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna, is there any more questions for Prabhuji? Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Can I ask one question, Prabhu? One question, can I ask Prabhu?
Somebody just
raise
the hands. Let's finish that.
Okay.
Yeah,
Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your wonderful class. And very straight. There is not much curving. So that's good. I like that. But, Prabhu, I do want to ask one question. So for, our movement is to share this knowledge to others. There are times when we are sort of motivated or easily to approach. What are some practical tips you would give or in your past experience to like approach to share this message? I got the idea of trying to connect and then try to share it, but what are some things that you would recommend to like share? For instance, I work in the hospital, so I have encountered a lot of patients, a lot of nurses, and we try to talk. It's easier sometimes to talk, when they go through difficulties, but what are some things that you would recommend practically to connect so we can spread this more?
Thank you for asking this question. I would make 4 points. That can be 40, we can say, but at least I'll tell you my top 4 points for anyone to make an effective preaching. The first and foremost is having the feeling of gratefulness that somebody saved me. Because when I am speaking, it is like this, Prabhu. Suppose, for example, you are stranded in a place, we all stranded in a place where there is a war or a, calamity. And somehow, somebody comes and rescues you and you are across the line of danger. You feel so grateful. My God, thankfully somebody is saved. And the real feeling of gratefulness is you immediately spread that message. Hey, please catch this plane. Go to this place. Go to that place. Go to this place. Somehow you'll be able to. During COVID, I guess several people, extended themselves. Oh, go to this place. Go to that place. So first is the sense of gratefulness to say that I was saved or I am being saved. As I am being saved is that feeling. Because if I do not have that feeling, I will be thinking that I am helping someone. But actually, I am not. I am being a medium to help someone. I'm connecting two ends. I'm just trying to be a postman. So first is the sense of feeling of gratefulness to our predecessors that we got this. With that feeling, our mood is nice. Number two, as we always say, that please try to see the situation where, how painful the jiva is going through. So the idea is that Jive Doya. Preaching means Jive Doya. What is Jive Doya? Because I was roaming like a madman thinking that I'm enjoying. The camel eating cactus thinking that he is getting chappan bhog. Cactus, by eating cactus, the thorny plants, it is actually, it is drinking its own blood at some times. So we have been enjoying our own lives in a very rotten way and thinking that was happiness. Somehow, somebody brought this knowledge. So, when we are preaching, we have to see since you are in hospital, I am saying that please be having jive doya. Para dukkha dukhi is required. When I am seeing others' pain, are you getting some pain? Then you are a good student to preach. If you get the jalak of your qualification comes out, then your love. There is something wrong. Okay, I know this much slokas. I know this much content. If that comes out over your love, it's like you're teaching your child. You're teaching your beloved. You will not show off your skills. You will see to that what the child would need, you will be delivering them. And when you're teaching the child, you not show off. You look at how artistically I could sing, how nicely I could play. That's not what your agenda would be. So The second aspect is Jive Daya. One is being grateful to the parampara. Second is Jive Daya. Oh my God, it is very important that this spirit soul needs, you know, help, is suffering. So unfortunately, you know, I would say this, I'm seeing the current generation doesn't bother about others' suffering. So when we bother about others' suffering, even if he is not a devotee, Jive Daya is not Vaishnava Daya. It is Jive Daya. You are supposed to feel sorry for every jiva. So that is, these two are mood. Now, two things I'll tell you, strategy. Strategy is, please speak that much that the other person need, not that everything that you know. Because we are not supposed to share what we know. We are supposed to share what they need. For that, there's a quality called empathy is required. I study them in their shoes. Because Krishna consciousness is presented differently for different types of audience. So as you speak, you empathize to a child differently, to an adult differently, to a lady differently, to a scientist differently, to a scholar differently. And last but not least, please present the fact honestly, saying that these are all something that give the credit to the predecessor, not hold back. Because you will get credit. It is impossible that you won't get credit. You will always get a credit. That's the glory of this process. Please don't dwell on that. You pass on. So which means as you deliver, the beauty of all our acharyas is whenever they have spoken, they are given the credit and they have pointed fingers upstairs. So what happened is that they are saying, boss, it's not my content. It is their content. So technically speaking, you are giving the bibliography. At the same time, getting a credit just by saying it. You're saying it all. This is Prabhupada gave. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave. I'm passing it on. People will be, oh, thank you, Mr. Ramdev, because you gave that knowledge that I never had access to. They know you are just a postman. But when you get the money order from the postman, because they received the money, they'll be so happy. They'll give you 50 rupees. Oh, please keep it. I got my money, which I've been waiting for a long time. So being a postman is a glorious job. Please be a righteous postman. This is what I would say as a four important steps for being an effective preacher. There may be 40 more, but at least these four I would always insist. Making sense, Guru?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Is there any more questions?
Thank you. Very nice.
Prabhu, you...
Yes, Prabhu.
You told only three, no, Prabhu. You told somebody saved me, and then you told Paradukhadukhi, and the third one you told that empathize. And what is the fourth one? I
said give credit when credit is due. Give the credit upstairs. Don't take the credit. It's important because the credit, the moment you give the credit, your presentation will get more weightage. Many times people don't give the credit, thinking that, oh, probably, wow, this guy has so much of knowledge. I was talking to Madhavananda Prabhu one day. I said, Prabhu, your classes are very nice, Prabhu. So then he said that I speak always from what my Guru Maharaj has spoken. I said, I all the time speak from what I've heard from others. Then he made a very nice point. He said, that's how this process works. That we always try to speak of what we heard from the acharyas, and how much loyal you are, how much chaste you are in presenting the knowledge as it is, that much happy and successful you are, and you will get the credit. And make sure that you pass on the credit further upstairs, so this journey will, very nicely be going on. So I think our success of preaching will remain when we follow this principle. Okay, any other thoughts, comments, reflections?
Yeah, there are.
Prabhu, I was just asking. Oh, somebody is there?
No, Prabhuji, go ahead.
Yeah, Prabhu, this sound vibration, when we hear the Bhagavatam, sometimes, you are very tired and not able to absorb. But Guru Maharaj has told that whether you understand or absorb, you listen, just the sound goes inside, that will work like a medicine inside the heart to remove the Mala. Kashmalam will be removed. So I just wanted to have the little
Prabhu, I guess every time when we hear such instructions, they are all context. This is my understanding. It's like we tell a child, my father used to always say this, when I took up my Krishna consciousness when I was in grade 7, and my father was concerned that, you know, I will become a total Hare Krishna and not study. So he would constantly say, somehow, aap 8th tak padhai kar lo, uske baad sab koi problem nahi hai. Till study the 8th standard nicely, then 10th standard only. So what happens is that many times, acharyas in their lectures, in their conversation, they encourage us to come up to one level. That's not an absolute statement. It's an absolute statement as well as in a relative context. Absolute statement saying that make sure the sound vibration goes into your ear, you'll get purified. It's an absolute statement. But that is not a permanent eternal statement that that's all you're supposed to do. So the technically speaking, that never stop yourself to, you know, be associating with Vaishnavism and, you know, Krishna conscious activities. At the same time, we are also, that is why this in my third reflection today's class, I was mentioning that discrimination in combination with thoughtfulness, viveka with matihi, gives rise to non-enviousness. What is this thoughtfulness? Thoughtfulness is because I am trying to be sensitive and being thoughtful, not that I'm a, you know, abjoli bolte sahi bolte sir. Arjuna was a thoughtful student. Parikshit Maharaj was a thoughtful student. He was not an S-boss. Whatever you said is correct. He was thinking, whatever is being told is being processed. He is answering back, cross-questioning, disagreeing. So we are, when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and we say, you please simply let the sound vibration pass through your ears, glorious, absolute statement. Does that mean that we are not supposed to scrutinize the study? No, it doesn't mean that. You're supposed to. At least, to the least extent, go to the school, Baba. Sit. Kuch to kaan mein padega. So that is the motivation from a parent. A parent says, instead of you sitting at home and sleeping whole day and watching mobile, you go and sit in the classroom, even if you're half sleeping, something will go in your ears and you'll be able to make it. But that doesn't mean that that's enough. That means that he's encouraging to, you know, stay afloat in divine consciousness. That's my understanding.
Discrimination, thoughtfulness. What's the third one you told?
Discrimination combined with thoughtfulness. Viveka combined with matihi gives birth to anasuya, which is non-enviousness. This is by Kavi Karnapur in his Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful question and answer session today. Question and answers are very nice. I really like the point that you just shared. Like, you know, this, you just, at least you hear, that is only for the for us to get to that situation. And after that, once you hear, then automatically, if you are giving material example also at the same time, materially might your father might have told after 8 this is done, and maybe 10, it might not give us a taste in material level, but spiritual level, when you're talking with example, like at least the less the sound go, then you will see actual change, what will exactly happen after the sound go. Even in initially of our Krishna consciousness, people say, okay, don't have to stop onion, don't have to stop meat, that's fine, you just come have prasadam, and then they'll say, okay, chant. Just come have prasadam, eat, chant one round. Then slowly, you know, it will come. Like when you are saying that, I was recollecting my own Krishna conscious journey, how they have told me, okay, just come have prasadam, no need to sit for Bhagavad Gita class. Slowly, you know, they made me a devotee. Thank you, Prabhuji, very nice question and answer session, and lot of devotees are sharing their realization in the chat. Like Harita Mataji was saying, wonderful class and many takeaway points. And even Flavier Mataji is saying that she always learns so many things from your class. And Vrinda Gopika Mataji is also saying that it's very inspiring class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. If there are no more questions and question and realizations, we can close the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha kalpa taro bhyasya kripa sindhu bhyaiva cha patitanam bhavane kaam. Ananta koti Vaishnavrindiki jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Koti koti dhanvat pranam.
Thank you,
Shila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Koti koti dhanvat pranam. Let's accept our humble obeisances. Jai Shri Radhe.
Thank you so much.
Gauranga Nityananda. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Thank you, Ramgilal.
All here, dear devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.